First reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 9 to 13, and that's found on page 1186. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. This is the gospel of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, actually.
The second reading can be found on page 993 of the Bibles and is taken from Matthew chapter 24, starting to read at verse 1. That's page 993. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Yes? You can hear me? Good. Right. I don't know about you, but I think this passage that we've had from Matthew is very relevant in the times that we're living at the moment. With what's going on, and Karen brought it to us quite perfectly, the situation in the two places that probably we most worry about, and that's Israel and Gaza City together, and also the ongoing war in the Ukraine, which has tend to got a little bit of a back seat at the moment, hasn't it, with all that's going on everywhere else. But there are also tensions in this country as well, and we've seen that on the streets in London, and tensions going on, all which I think Jesus calls rumours of war, and they sum that up beautifully, really. The subject of the end times is probably a fascinating one. Scholars have dealt with this over centuries, talking about what will happen, when it will happen, how it will happen, who will it happen to, all those types of things. And of course, approaching Christmas, when we look at Advent, we think about Jesus' birth, and we also have that Advent Sunday on that Sunday in Advent when we think about Jesus coming again. So it's a very relevant time to look about that. So we're going to consider what Jesus is actually saying here and how we should be living in the world today so that we can be prepared. So shall we pray? Father God, we know that with all that is going on in our world, all that is going on in our country, all that is going on in our town, we think about the things that might come in the future, and we need to put these into your hands. And we ask, Lord, that as we look at the future, which could be soon or distant or wherever that may be, we may learn from you how you want us to deal with it. Amen. So we started off, and I'm looking at the Matthew reading, obviously, Matthew 24. We started by looking at the temple in verses 1 and 2. One of the things you've got to remember about the temple is that in those times, it was actually a focus of everyday life. The temple was such an important part of what people did that they came up to the temple on every available festival that there was. We know because of Jesus' death that the temple at Passover was very busy. But there were other times too. There were other different festivals. There was the festival of Sukkoth, which is what would be called our harvest festival when people came up. So they were the big two times, but they came up for the different festivals all the time. And they would come to worship, and they would come to sacrifice at those times. It was a very revered building. Don't forget, inside that building was the Holy of Holies, only where the priest could go. And so most people would want to be near that at that time. It was also considered beautiful. If you'd been around in that time, one of the places you might have wanted to gone to see was the temple in Jerusalem, because it was a beautiful place. I suppose it's not much like we have our wonders of the world today, don't we? And we probably have the cathedrals that we might go and see. They are lovely places, and they places we would want to do that. In those times, the temple in Jerusalem was one of those things that was beautiful for people to see. And there was also a thought that when you were inside it, you couldn't appreciate the beauty as when you were standing outside and looking at it. So the disciples probably were very much saying to Jesus in these first two verses, as they were standing outside and looking at that temple, can you see how beautiful this is? This is the building. This is the place where we worship. Isn't it beautiful? But actually, Jesus responds in a very different way. You see, Jesus knows that all these things, whether it was the temple in Jerusalem, whether it was any buildings or anything else, or even people, that these are temporal things. In time, they will go. And he was warning them of what was about to come. The temple was actually destroyed in AD 70, as most of you will know. There's only one part of it that remains today, and that's not actually the temple. It was the outer wall of the temple, the bit where it enclosed it. Often called the Western Wall, the West Side today, or probably you may well know it as the Wailing Wall, which is what it's called in Israel. That's the only bit that survives. In our lives, everything that we have is temporal. The homes we live in, the possessions that we have. When we come into this world, we come in with nothing. And when we go out with nothing. But there is one thing that remains static through all that, and that's Jesus. When we come to Jesus, we have Jesus forever. And that fact remains. And our hope is that we will see him again in glory when he comes again. That our lives here are actually a part of God's eternal plan. They're not temporal, and they're going to be changed into something much more glorious. So in verse 3, the disciples know that. They also want to know the answer to another question. When is all this going to happen, Lord? And just what are we going to look for? So in our lives, in the world that we live in, we always want to know when. We like to have appointments and times, don't we? Yeah, we like to have appointments and times. We don't like just turning up for things. Most of us don't. We want to have it ordered and structured. When I was a little girl, and some of you might remember this, going back a long time, if we wanted to go and see the doctor, the normal practice was to go down to the surgery, sit on a seat, and wait. And you were in a queue, and you just waited your turn. You know, whoever turned up first, went in first, then second, and so on. There were no, I don't remember any appointment times at all. You just turned up. Now, of course, you have to book an appointment. I don't know if anyone has tried that recently, because I have found that very difficult to get an appointment at the doctor's. Everybody wants to know when it is their turn, and they want an exact and a precise time. We've also got to need signs to manage our everyday life. We want to know if we're going to do things, what are the signs are we going to be looking for? You know, the government does it. All these statistics that are produced, they're signs of things that might happen. You know, if you've got your statistics that might say, okay, inflation is going to be this rate, so we've got to set benefits at this rate. Do you know what I mean? It's the signs of all these things that are going to happen, that might happen. Well, Bank of England does it as well, doesn't they? Look at all the things going around and decide, Malcolm, that the interest rate that you're going to have to pay for all these things. I can't go, where is he? He's there somewhere. They have all these theories, have all these things that they have to set their rates for. Even the weather this week. Yep. We had a severe weather warning, I think, in the middle of the week. And there we were looking for signs of this impending storm that was going to come. We were going to get, you know, gale force winds and rain. So we do that. We look for it. We look for the signs. And the disciples understood that there would be an end of the age. But they were looking for signs. They wanted to know what to look out for. And they wanted to be prepared, just like any of us would. So what signs does Jesus give them? Well, firstly, he says, watch out for false prophets or messiahs. We need to be careful that not all claiming to be Jesus' followers are. We know that what happens in churches, that some leaders that we can revere to quite high quite highly can have a very quick downfall. We've seen that recently, and it's happened in the past. Jesus talks about being deceived and to be very wary of those who would destroy us. So I do ask a question. Do we pray for our leaders? Do we pray that God will protect them, give them wisdom? Do we pray to ensure that they don't fall? Are we putting our God's protection upon them? Do you know, the higher you get up a ladder, the worse the fall is. And we need to support our leaders. And what about when things go wrong? Heard of that recently in the Church of England, things going wrong. And one of the things is because people have not been prepared to speak out. to ask questions. And then when he does, there's an even greater fall. Secondly, Jesus is talking about wars and rumours. We were talking about this, wars and rumours of war. We were talking about this a little while ago. And much of what we see today are wars, rumours of wars. He's also talking about famines and earthquakes. And I think we've seen plenty of those in the last few years, going back some time. And thirdly, he describes times when we will be persecuted and hated, and people will turn away from God. False prophets and deceit will be evident. And one of the things is that love, we will lose the love for one another. Sometimes I think Christians do have a hard job in wherever they work, not actually trying to state what they feel about different things, but just about their beliefs. And doctors saying to patients, "I will pray for you," is not considered to be a very good thing. Being able to share faith is actually thought of as not being a good thing. And people can lose their jobs for doing those things. Are we willing to know what our faith is and to share our faith even when we're told we cannot? Then we've got to be clear though. If we think that these signs are happening now and these are signs of what to come, you need to look back through the ages and go back from when Jesus left our earth, our planet, our world, to now. And you will find that there have always been false prophets. There have always been wars and rumours of wars. There have always been famines. There have always been earthquakes. And Christians have always been persecuted. We've always had church leaders who have fallen. We've always had prophets coming in or cults that have built up that had a prophet with them. That's happened over all these times. Jesus was calling these the birth pains, and they've been going on for such a long time. I don't know anybody who's been an expectant mother, and I've probably been an expectant a number of times, knows that you get different pains during pregnancy right through, and you get all these pains. None of them are going to be the real ones until the real ones happen. And the other thing that you can't do is guess the date of when your baby will arrive. It will come in its time, as you said. You might have a rough idea, but actually you don't know the date. I, believe it or not, I've had 5 children, and only 2 of them arrived on the same date. There you are. And even those, even though, you know, some were early and some were late. So I couldn't tell. I didn't have a date. I couldn't tell you, because that was just God's time, and planning on it. The truth is that we haven't got any idea how God's time works. I've heard once that somebody said, "Oh, do you know what? 1,000 years is actually one of our days. That's how God's times work." Well, I worked that out. I did a little calculation and thought, well, if 1,000 years is God's time, then actually in God's time, Jesus has only been back from the crucifixion for 2 days. If you think of it, that's what it is. Think about that. And our lives, if we were to live 100 years, most of us don't live that long, but if we were to live 100 years, it's a tiny minute, seconds. You know, God's timing is just so different. We haven't got any idea of what that would be. What Jesus is asking us here, and this is, I think, the big thing from this, we have got to be ready all the time. The signs have been there all the time. The signs will be there all the time. however long before Jesus returns. What we've got to be doing is being on our guard. We've got to be looking at things and being prepared for Jesus to return. And Jesus promises in verse 13 that the one who stands firm will be saved. Jesus says that the gospel will be preached to the whole world and then the end will come. I think we've virtually done that. We have said that the gospel has gone to every place in that we know on this earth. But I bet you there'll always be someone who the gospel hasn't been preached to, because you will never have quite been able to reach them. If you think about every second a new baby is being born and that baby has not been preached the gospel to yet, we still have a long way to go before it can be preached to the whole world. So we are doing that. The end is in the hands of God. And basically, we have the signs. We wait for his perfect timing. And while we do that, we carry on attending to our flock, doing those things that we need to do. So how does this tell us about how we should live today? We have to live in expectation that Jesus may come at any time. The signs are here. In fact, they've always been here, and we are there to be prepared. We know that those who believe and continue to believe, the reward is eternal life. We will always be in the presence of God, and we should continue to live like that while we're here. And remember that our duty is to spread the gospel to those around us and give them the opportunity to hear it. We here are an intentional church. We welcome in the community, and that is what we should continue to do. And the gospel is given to the community that we have. The message isn't just for Sunday. It's for all the things that go on around us. The cafe, children's work, community events. People we meet in this building, they're people that we need to spread the gospel to, whoever they are. And there are a lot of people who use this building, not just that are church things, but other things. They are there. We need to spread the gospel to them. And we have opportunities to talk to them about Jesus. One of the songs I think we're going to do next says, I want to speak the name of Jesus. And that is profoundly what we should be doing, speaking the name of Jesus. We want everyone in the community to hear it, everyone to have the chance to come to Jesus, and everyone to be there when Jesus returns. Because what we want to do is to be ready for that glorious day, because it will be the best day ever. Let's pray.